Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. And today is going to be a really important message, something that I can already feel God is going to move through this message today. And honestly, y'all, my sermon this morning at church, the message today that I listened to, gave me the encouragement to speak on this and to share this with y'all today. Now, I said in my first ever episode of the Salt Not Sweetener podcast that this podcast was titled Salt Not Sweetener, and I was pulling from the scripture where God calls us the salt of the earth. Now, remember when I was reading that scripture, he emphasized to me so heavily, I did not call you the sweetener. I did not call you to sugarcoat things. I did not call you to people please. I did not call you to tell people just what sounds good to their ears and what makes them feel warm and fuzzy. I called you to be the salt of the earth. And salt is bitter to some people, just as the truth is bitter. Just as there are some people who the truth just offends. And I said in my first episode that the gospel is offensive. The gospel is offensive to people who are living in their own truth and not in the truth of the gospel, not in the real truth. People who are listening to the things that are sweet to their ears, people who are listening to the flesh, people who are listening to the comforts, people who are listening to the desires of their heart, when they hear the truth of the gospel, which tells you to die to self, which tells you to serve others, to forgive, to love in a Christ-like way, when it tells you to deny yourself. And I even have that in the description of this podcast, y'all, that when Jesus tells us these things, these are not sweet to our ears. These aren't things that we want to hear. These aren't things that make our flesh feel good. But we know that the flesh, when we are referring to the flesh, y'all, that we're jumping right in today. The flesh is referring to our innate desires, the desires of the flesh, the things that make us comfortable, the things that make us feel good in the moment. The things that please our desires. But the spirit is things that are pleasing to Christ. Things that are pleasing towards the Lord. And we know from reading scripture that the flesh and the spirit are enemies. The things that are of the flesh are not of the spirit. The things that are of the spirit are not of the flesh. And when you are leaning into the spirit, it requires you to crucify the flesh. We've talked about fasting before, y'all. Fasting is denying the flesh. I cannot tell y'all how many times I had revelation, I had clarity, I saw moves of God in my life when I denied the flesh and substituted that time with the word of God and truly seeking the Lord. Scripture says in the book of Jeremiah, it says that when you seek the Lord and you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And what our message today was in church, y'all, the pastor was so heavy on emphasizing it is our role to love one another as Christians. Jesus gave us that commandment, right? To love one another as Christ loved you. And he emphasized that it is love to share the truth of Jesus. We know that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. He came here to testify to the truth. And there is such a big movement going on, and I am someone who fell into it for years, of embracing your own truth and living in your own ways. Y'all, I fell victim to New Age spirituality. And I'm going to say this. I want to say this right now, starting off the podcast. New Age spirituality is a one-way ticket to hell, to separation forever from the Heavenly Father. Because New Age gratifies the flesh. New Age spirituality tells you that you are a god, that you are the one with the power, that you are the creator of your own reality, that you can manifest things, that you can do all these things, that you can heal yourself, that you can do all these New Age teaches you to rely on yourself and to chase your heart's desire, saying if you want something enough, it'll be yours. If you set your mind on it, if you think on it enough, you can create it. New Age spirituality teaches you to worship yourself. The devil doesn't have to get you to worship him. He just has to get you to worship anything other than God. We know in order to go into eternal life, to go into heaven, Jesus is the only way. And New Age spirituality teaches you to do in every way apart from Jesus, that you can be your own savior, that you can break things down, that you can heal. You can use crystals, you can use rocks, you can use meditations, you can use these different mantras, you can do all those things. You could use divination. It teaches you just enough shadow work and picking it apart and enlightenment and spiritual awakenings and all this stuff that is just a hamster wheel. And there is no actual salvation. I'm going to read scripture to y'all in a minute that scripture tells us, and we know that Jesus came here to testify to the truth. He is the truth, and the word of God is truth. And someone listening to this podcast needs to hear today that New Age, those New Age beliefs, those beliefs in self, that following your heart and following what feels right is going to lead you straight to hell. I'm also here today to tell you, as living proof, that you can repent and you can be moved by the word of God, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and see how Jesus can move in your life. I believe that I am saved, y'all. I believe that I am covered in the blood of Jesus. I have seen way too many transformations in myself that I thought to be impossible through Jesus Christ to not believe. I have seen way too many moves of God in my life to not believe. And I am here to tell y'all today, as someone who used to fall into people pleasing and called that love, who used to fall into telling people what they wanted to hear and just doing what people wanted to do, and said that that's the most loving thing I could do because I'm not offending anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. When I took my feelings and took them as truth, when I listened to all these other things, y'all, when I was in New Age spirituality, I believed in all these relative truths, right? I believed that, like, maybe it's just a mishmash of everything. In New Age spirituality, it was a mishmash of Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Satanism, like this witchcraft. New Age spirituality is just a pot full of all of these different ideals, and you just take what sounds right to you and what feels right to you, and you call it truth. But that is not truth. And I am here today to testify. Of how when I started walking by the Spirit and denying the flesh, I saw actual healing. I saw restoration. I saw protection from the devil, from the demonic forces that I have never seen before in my life. I was trying to do spiritual warfare from a New Age perspective. When I was facing spiritual warfare in New Age, I was trying to protect myself with mantras and with cleansings and with crystals and with all these things and incense and all this crap. And I was wondering, why is none of this like working like I feel like it should? And then I experienced spiritual warfare after being covered in the blood of Jesus. And I saw weapons forming against me. Not only were they not prospering, but I saw the enemy getting caught in the traps that he laid out for me. I saw God using all of these weapons forming against me for my good. I saw protection from being covered in the blood that you cannot be covered in anywhere else. Y'all, I was watching a video the other day on TikTok, and it was someone interviewing this witch. And this witch was saying that there's a small group of people that witchcraft can't touch. And it's people who are living in their truth and people who are embracing their truth. And, you know, there was someone who duetted that video and said, you know, she is not having the full, she really tried to emphasize. She's like, I'm not saying Christians. I'm just saying anybody who believes in their higher power. And, you know, this person was very quick to say, she's referring to being covered in the blood of Jesus, but she has it twisted. And there are people in the comments saying, see, you know, that this doesn't mean Christians. Like, it's just, if you really walk in your truth, there's a protection. No. I'm here to tell y'all, no. That is not what scripture says. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The authority that we have to trample on serpents and scorpions, the no weapon formed against us that shall prosper, comes through our faith and being covered in the blood of who? Jesus. I'm here to tell y'all, when I was in New Age, I truly believed in my truth. I believed in who I was. I believed in what I was doing. I believed at the time to be a true fit, and I was not protected. I know so many other people who the weapons were forming and appeared to be prospering. The only true protection is through being covered in the blood of Jesus and walking in that authority. And that comes through confessing Jesus as Lord, putting your faith in him with your words and with your heart. You can call yourself a Christian and go to church and all these things and not actually believe in who Jesus Christ is and not actually have the faith in his ability to protect you and to pay the debt for your sins. You can confess it with your mouth and not have your faith in the heart. I know because I did it growing up in the church. I know because I did it. And I saw the weapons forming. And they appeared to prosper for a while. I've said this in episodes before, y'all. You can't 1 foot in and 1 foot out. God doesn't do lukewarm. And you can't put 1 foot in and 1 foot out and expect the 100% of his promises when you're giving like 50% submission. He said, no weapons that formed against you shall prosper. Right? But when you're not submitting to him, when you're having all these open doors to the devil, when you're participating in divination and horoscopes and witchcraft and lies and slandering and wicked works, and then other areas trying to hand that over to God, how can you 50% invest, have all these open doors where you're giving the devil access to your life and be mad that you're not seeing 100% of God's promises fulfilled? When you're not giving the 100%. I'm speaking to y'all from experience today. And if you feel convicted, good. You need to. I needed to. I wish someone spoke to me this way. That path that you're going down with putting faith in yourself, in your truth, in your desires, taking your feelings as truth. We know scripture tells us that the heart is deceptive. So when you're putting your faith in your heart and what you believe to be true at that time, that is a one-way ticket to separation. And the flesh doesn't care about eternity. The flesh thinks about here and now. What makes me feel good right now? What do I want 5 minutes from now? What do I want in this lifetime? The flesh isn't thinking about your eternal destination where you're going to be forever. And I'm here to tell y'all, you think you know what life is like without God because you're rejecting him right now? You don't. Everything good on this earth is because of God. The breath in your lungs is because of God. The sun coming up is because of God. The love that you experience is because of God. The lowercase g god of this world, the devil, Satan, everything evil and wicked comes out of him. The things that you're angry at God about, the addictions that you're angry about, the negative things that you've experienced, the hatred from other people, the jealousy from other people, the animosity from other people, amen. All of those things came from the devil. He is the one who brings about these things. He is the father of lies, of wickedness, of evil. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. These things that you're angry at God about, you should be angry at Satan about. And in turning away from God and rejecting his goodness, you're welcoming these things from the devil that sure feel good to your flesh for 5 minutes, but he's the one running amok. And it took me so long to understand this. I was so, y'all, for so long mad at God of, God, why'd you let addiction happen in my life? Why'd you let people hurt me this way? Why'd you let all these other things happen? But when I look back, I also wasn't walking in submission to God. I wasn't fully putting my faith in him. I wasn't seeking him with all my heart. I wasn't trusting him. I was still trying to control things. I was still opening all these other doors to the devil. And when I finally got right with God, he revealed to me, he's like, you had all of these other, you were confessing Jesus with your mouth, but in all these other areas, you were welcoming the devil to come in and take root and wreak havoc in your life. How can you be mad that I didn't protect you when you aren't following any of the commandments that I give you to be protected? And that's not saying that in walking in submission, bad things won't happen, because we do live in a fallen world. But I wasn't even doing my part in the first place. There were a lot of things that I allowed in my life that I did not have to allow in my life that came through my disobedience. And when I started living a life submitted to the Lord, and there were still weapons forming, the enemy was still coming at me, but I saw God starting to use those things for my good. Even though there was a painful season, when I came out on the other side, there was a harvest to reap. There was blessing. I saw how these things were lessons and not just pain. God actually used them. You know, my whole life where I felt like there was injustice and all this pain and all this suffering, once I was walking in submission to God and trusting it to him, I saw how those things, although the weapons were forming, I saw how they turned around. I saw how Satan fell into his own traps. I saw how God protected me from things when I listened to him tell me, no, don't go there. Don't hang out with those people. Don't participate in that thing. Stay here. Read the word. Pray to me. And then later on, I hear what went down. Later on, I saw what happened. Later on, that person, things were revealed that I wasn't seeing. And I was like, wow, I'm glad I listened to God, because if I didn't, I would have walked in that situation, got really hurt, harmed, damaged, delayed, blocked. For so long, y'all, I was saying, God just doesn't want us to have fun. He's given us all these rules because he doesn't want us to have fun. That is not true. Satan paints these sins as fun, but they are bondage. Because once that becomes a cycle, once that becomes a routine, it is so hard to break it off of you. Once drinking and smoking to deal with your emotions, to make you bold or brave, becomes a routine, it's really hard to do it apart from that thing, right? Addictions form, mental, emotional, physical. When you get used to exposing your body and that's how you feel good about yourself, when you start to try to dress modestly or cover up, you feel gross. You don't feel good. You don't feel right. You feel like a grandma. You feel like a this. All of a sudden, you're insecure. When you're used to all the worldly ways of you feeling good about yourself, you can't break them off. Sin feels good until you try to leave. The people who are in witchcraft, the people who are in divination, it feels fun. It feels like control. It feels like power until you try to walk away. When you try to come out of those agreements you came into, and all of a sudden you feel bound. All of a sudden the enemy is pulling you back in, is reeling you back in. All of a sudden you feel like you can't think without divination. All of a sudden there's panic and there's worry and there's anxiety. Y'all, when I left New Age, I had to have such heavy deliverance. I didn't realize how many demonic agreements I came into. And there are so many people who want to leave, but feel like they can't because they believe the lie of Satan that now they're Satan's, that they're forever stuck in these agreements, that they're forever stuck in these bondages. You're not. You can break free. Jesus broke me free, but you have to believe in his ability to break you free. And you have to continue to put your faith in Jesus over what the enemy is saying and what the enemy is telling you. But there are so many people who are stuck in that. There's so many people who don't believe that Jesus has the power he does, that believe Satan to be the ultimate authority, wickedness, evil, and darkness, and that is not true. When you're covered in the blood of Jesus, you have the authority to stomp that out and to rebuke it. But that authority comes through following Jesus truly with your heart. I saw, y'all, when I was in New Age, people who were witches trying to use Psalms and Proverbs to curse and hex. And I saw that backfire 0 to 100 real quick. It is in the book of John where Jesus makes it clear that there are children of God There are sons of God and there are sons of the devil. We are all God's creation. But the people who are God's children are the people who are doers of good, are the people who are submitted to God. And the people who are children of the devil, the people who are children of darkness, are the people who reject God's ways. And we know that Satan masquerades as the angel of light. There are people who think that they are really good and all their works are good. But when you look at the root, they are pointing to separation. They're pointing to desires of the flesh. And they're actually workers of evil. They're people who feel like they're very, very good people who are actually sons of the devil. I was one of them. I thought in New Age, well, I'm trying to help people and give them new coping mechanisms. And I don't try to purposely hurt people and do all this. And I'm telling people what they want to hear and, like, you know, trying to make them feel good about themselves and all these things. And I realized later on, I was pointing them away from Jesus. I was pointing them towards themselves. I was pointing them towards fleshly desires. So even though what I was saying sounded good to the ears, and even though I felt like I had good intentions for these people, I was a worker of iniquity. I was a worker for the devil. I was a worker of wickedness. I was a child of the devil. And when I gave my life to Christ and I started walking in his ways and I started looking like him, I was a child of God. I'm going to read some scripture to y'all. We have Romans chapter 8, and this is the CSB. Therefore, there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled and us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want to pause this right here. Y'all, as I said in the beginning of this podcast episode, the only way into heaven is Jesus Christ. That's because every single one of us has committed already way too many sins to go to heaven. We are not eligible to be in the eternal presence of God. Every single one of us. And I've said in a previous podcast episode in reading the book of Ephesians that we are saved by faith through grace. Like, our faith in Jesus Christ given to us by the grace of God is what gives us the ability to go into heaven. Because every single one of us was sinful, God sent Jesus Christ down. Jesus Christ was here. He was tempted, but he was not sinful. And his spilling the blood on the cross was the payment for our sins. So when we put our faith in him, not just confessing him as Lord with our mouth, but with our hearts, and believe in what he did, and we believe that he was risen from the dead, and we believe that he ascended into heaven, and we believe that he is going to come back and establish the new, like, we're going to have eternal life with him, and he's going to come back, and wickedness has already been defeated. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he already defeated wickedness. We already know from reading the book of Revelation that one day Satan is going to be, like, totaled. So the people right now who are children of darkness, the people right now who are serving the devil, who are serving witchcraft, any of that, there is no winning battle here. They are already on the losing team. It has already been spoken. It has already been prophesied. Jesus has already said it. When we read the Bible, we already know what is going to happen. We already know that Satan is going to be bound. We already know that he's going to be destroyed. We already know that one day every knee will bow. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So everyone who is a worker of evil, a worker of iniquity, a child of the devil, is going to follow him into the pit of hell. And that wasn't God's intent for us. God created hell not for us, but for Satan and for the fallen angels. And Satan is around tempting us away from God and to follow him. And for some people, they outwardly worship Satan, but for other people, they worship themselves, their emotions, their thoughts, their feelings. And because they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping self. That is the separation. And we choose, I want to be so clear with this, we choose in this lifetime if we want eternity with the Heavenly Father or separation. And that is, do we put our faith in Jesus Christ? Do we confess him with our mouths and with our heart. And once you have your faith in him, and you're walking with him, your lives start to look different. We talked about that in the last episode of works and where works fit in. You cannot encounter Jesus, believe in Jesus, and not actually be changed. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. You go to heaven because of your faith in Jesus. Because when you put your faith in him, his blood covers you and pays your basically admission fee. It pays your debt. And when you go before the Heavenly Father, Jesus is able to intercede on your behalf and say, this one had their faith in me, they're covered. It is through Jesus. I'm going to move forward here. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. How we talked about, y'all, that the works of the flesh lead to death. Death here is spiritual death, eternal separation from God. And I said this earlier in the podcast, for those who have spent their lives rejecting God, you don't know a life truly without God. A life truly without God is the absence of all the good things in this world. You think you know a life without God, you do not. You think you know a life without goodness, you do not. Every good thing that you have experienced in your life is from God, and that's who you thank for it. And when you have eternal separation, you do not have that goodness. You don't. And the works of the flesh, the your truth, your thoughts, your understanding, your temporary heart's desires, what you want, the inclinations of the flesh, that is where it will lead you, is to eternal separation. Is where you go before, because every single one of us is going to have to go before God when we die. And that is when you'll hear, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. The people who confess with their lips, but not with their heart, who outwardly confess that they believed, but they didn't have in their heart that they believed, they didn't truly accept Jesus Christ, that works of the flesh, that is where you're led. Now we know that the works of the Spirit is what leads. Now I want to be so clear that works do not buy your way into heaven. We know that from reading Ephesians, so that way no one may boast. But your works are a sign of what Jesus is doing in you internally. Your external is a sign of what's happening internal. You cannot believe in Christ and be walking with him and not experience changes. We can go further to read in the book of Romans that those who love the Lord are going to live like the Lord. When you love Christ, you start to live like Christ. And the world, especially our generation, has this painted up version of love that isn't the same as Christ-like love. I've talked about this in previous episodes, y'all, that for the longest time, I thought I was showing love to other people. And then once I truly experienced the love of Jesus, I realized that the love I was giving to other people wasn't actual love, because it wasn't leading them back to Jesus. It wasn't truth-based. I thought love was making other people just feel comfortable and making other people feel good about themselves and not wanting to cause a stir or anything like that. And I look back and I realize, like, no, that was not love. That was comfortability. That was me keeping other people comfortable. That was me keeping myself comfortable, avoiding conflict, avoiding dramatic things, telling people what they wanted to hear. But that wasn't Christ-like love. Because Christ-like love is rooted in truth. And I'm speaking so passionately with y'all about this today because I know what it's like to need to hear this. And I wish I heard it and had ears to hear the way that I'm saying it to y'all now. because I truly believe that what I was doing when I was in New Age, when I was listening to my truth and my da-da-da-da-da, was the best way. And glory be to God, he gave me eyes to see and ears to hear when I started seeking him with all my heart. I want to tell you all this. I had the most hardened heart. You know, before I started seeking the Lord, someone probably could have said all these things to me, and I would have just seen them as judgmental, and I would have just closed out whatever they had to say and moved forward. But it was when I started reading my Bible and started praying to God and started slowly submitting and surrendering things that I started to be humbled. And the scab started to fall off of my eyes and ears, and I could start to see things in a different way. I was open to my truth not being the truth. And once I was open to that, I was able to accept the truth of Jesus Christ. And y'all, I didn't want to, like, for the longest time, in all honesty, I feel like when we experience testimonies in our lives and transformations, things that God pulled us out of, that ends up being a community or a group of people that we're able to relate to and speak to. And for a long time, I was like, to be so real with y'all, I was telling God, I don't want to speak to the New Age community. I don't want to speak to the witches. I don't want to speak to the diviners. I don't want that to be one of my target audiences. Because I notice so many of them, I just sound judgmental and ignorant and closed-minded and all these things. And like, there were some that were not afraid to do evil things. Y'all, when I was in New Age, I met some people, okay, who were not afraid to make legit deals with demons, to spill blood, to sacrifice. Like, there are some people who, there are no bounds. There are none of that. And I was like, God, I don't want to directly talk to these people. I don't want the drama that's going to come along with it. That was honestly where I was rooted in for so long. I was like, I don't want to be attached to that group. I don't want that. I'm a new creation in Christ. Can I like let that go? I dealt with, you know, substance. Can I talk to those people in the Lord? Yes, you can talk to those people. I've dealt with insecurity. I've dealt with immodesty. Can I talk to those people? And God has used me to talk to those people too. But he has really showed me, you need to talk to the people who are living in their own truth. You need to talk to the people who are embracing New Age. You need to talk to the people who are embracing witchcraft. I'm telling y'all today, stop putting your faith in those angel numbers. There are so many people who hear because they're called angel numbers. I know people who are trying to follow the Lord, but are also looking at angel numbers for confirmation. No, I'm not saying that God can't use numbers to catch your attention. I'm not saying, because I never want to put God into a box. But repetitive numbers, number patterns, should not be soul alone a confirmation or me. Y'all, when I was in New Age spirituality, when I would see like 111, I would think, oh, well, this is a new beginning. Or when I'd be thinking a thought and I would look and see like angel numbers, I would think, oh, confirmation. Yep, this is true. Put my faith in this. Believe in this. And I started thinking, I was like, how many times I write this down? The devil sees this too. And how many times, like once I started putting my faith in the Lord, I started thinking of the things that when I would see angel numbers, I would think confirmation or this is a good sign or this is a thing. And then when I would hold it up to scripture, I'm like, wait, scripture tells me the exact opposite. Like I'd be looking at, like I'd be thinking about a person that I was into for a time, right? And then some angel numbers, 1111, would pop up and I'd be like, oh, well, I'm thinking about them and everything. And these numbers are popping up. This must be my person. And then when I hold up to scripture, and I'm thinking of that person, the qualities of that person, of like just saying like, what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. And the person I'm thinking about is impatient, unkind, very boastful, leads me to lust, wanting to lead me to the bedroom and all these things. And it's like, huh, The angel numbers are telling me this is a good thing, but when I hold up to scripture, this is everything God says not to participate in. This is everything God tells me to stay away from. I'm not saying that God cannot use something like that to catch your attention. But I am saying that you should be testing things with the word. You should be taking things to God. And New Age has really gotten people to put their faith in anything outside of God, to meditate with crystals and that'll heal you, to put crystals on your body and that'll cleanse you from negative energy and protect you and all this stuff, to veil, to incense, to do all of these things. New Age really gets people into like doing offerings, and whether or not they realize it, New Age is actually really, really works-based, right? And I've spoken on this before, y'all, that New Age actually is like hell for someone who has control problems, anxiety, like anything like that, because at first it looks like a dream, right? If you're someone who feels like you have no control over, you're just looking for a sense of control and you're just like looking for empowerment, like New Age actually seems like the perfect thing. That's why a lot of people get into New Age. A lot of people get into witchcraft because it feels like empowering. It feels like you can take control. It feels like you can deal justice, or like you can have some inside knowledge and all these things. But when you subscribe to an ideal that's becomes you are your own savior, you are your own creator, you are all these things, guess what? When it starts inevitably going bad, when you inevitably see that you're on a hamster wheel of just going round and round and round and round and round, when you keep going through all the, they call it shadow work in New Age, and realize that there's just more and more and more, like you keep going back to the same thing, eventually you're the one to blame too. And that is hell. For someone like y'all, for me, when it started off for me, like the most empowering thing of like, oh, I can manifest this and I can create this and I can do all this. And then all of a sudden, when I was putting in all these works, I was doing all these meditations, I was doing all these mantras, I was doing all these things, and things still kept going downhill. Weapons forming still appeared to prosper. I kept seeing things slipping through, this happening, that happening, my mental health, you know, things I thought were healed revealed to me they were not healed and they were just manifesting in another area, all these things. I started to be the one solely to blame too. It became a real works where I was like, maybe I'm just not working hard enough. Maybe I just need to work more and I need to do this more and I need to do that more. And it ended up turning into like a workspace thing of just not good enough. And for someone who already has like a control thing, that actually turns from empowerment into like hell. Because when we read the gospel, we know the truth that we are not our own savior. Jesus is our savior. That we cannot do anything apart from him. He is the vine, his father, the vine dresser. We are merely the branches. Everything good comes from him. He is the living well. We're supposed to be coming to him daily for our daily bread. Those beliefs I was subscribing to were very anti-scripture. Very anti-scripture, very anti-truth, no matter how good they felt to the ears. And that's a real thing that you have to be so watchful for, that New Age has gotten really good with, y'all, is it takes relative truths. That's what manifestation is in itself, is a relative truth. Like it takes a little bit of biblical truth, but it puts its own spin on it. I've said in many episodes that the devil is great with deception. And the difference between an outright just lie and deception is deception has some kind of truth in it. It's a lot easier to believe something when there's a little bit of truth that you can verify. We know that scripture says that power lies in the tongue, right? That you can be speaking death and that you can be speaking life. We know that scripture says like whatever you ask for in faith will be given to you. And what does New Age say? New Age starts to say, well, you're the creator. And whatever you think, if you think about it enough, if you envision it enough, and you believe it enough, it'll happen. And that you could, you know, I truly believed, y'all, when I was in New Age, that everything around me was the result of what I was speaking. That if I spoke enough life and positivity, I would see life. And if I just spoke enough death, I would start seeing death. And when bad things were happening, maybe I was just speaking too much. I was coming into too much agreement. And I felt like those things, because of like my memory of some things I had heard in scripture, like it felt believable enough to me. New Age took the truth of God and put its own wicked spin on it. Now I know that whatever I ask for in prayer, if it is in God's will, if it aligns with his will, if I'm praying to God, like, God, give me this wicked thing, this sinful thing, he's not going to give that to me. And if I'm asking him for something that aligns with his will for my life, that aligns with scripture, ask and you shall receive. There are so many people led astray right now by relative truths. And there is this idea that is coming after so many people that you can just decide what is true and what isn't true. That was what got me in New Age, y'all. But Jesus came here to testify like that. That's not it. Jesus came here to testify to the truth. He was the truth. And when you read the Word of God, I want to be very clear, y'all. The Bible is the Word of God. There are people who say, well, it was men who wrote the book. Men wrote the book, but God was moving through them. Everything, I'm holding up this Bible right now, is God inspired. Everything in here is a testament to God's character. So when I read, it doesn't matter that a man wrote it with his hand. Every word that I'm reading in this Bible, I know is the Word of God. And every word in this Bible, I take as truth over what I think, over what I feel, over what the world around me tries to say. And I will tell y'all right now, when I started living my life that way, I saw breakthroughs that I never saw before in my life. I saw protection that I've never seen before in my life. I had clarity, understanding that I've never seen before in my life. I had things broken off of me that I never thought were going to be broken off of me. Y'all, I was told that I was going to have to live with, I rarely spoke about this, but there's a supernatural healing that the Lord did in me. I was told when I was 14, I had epilepsy and I would have to live with that for the rest of my life. When I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and gave my life to him, I felt, I knew he made a promise to me that he was going to break that off of me, that I was no longer going to have that disorder. And he broke that off of me. Glory be to God. Medication free. I was told I was going to have to deal with my depression, my anxiety, my PTSD, my eating disorder for the rest of my life. I saw so many counselors throughout my young adult years and my early preteen teenage years, and I saw it was going to be something I was going to have to medicate and have to deal with. I was told I was too self-aware and that there really wasn't much they could do for me. And the Lord broke those things off of me. He delivered me. The lust that I used to subscribe to, and I thought, well, I'm just going to be a lustful person, broken off of me. The addiction, addicted to nicotine for over 10 years, I thought was never going to be broken off of me. There were relationships, familial relationships I had that were never good from as young as I could remember. I went no contact with those people for years and thought I was never going to get that back, and it was never going to be healthy. We could never move on. God proved me wrong. Restored those relationships and made them healthier than they had ever been before when they were Christ-centered. Restored my reputation. Restored my finances. I'm telling y'all today that I am a living testimony. And it was not my own works. It was me submitting to God. And it was God working through my submission. I'm here today to tell you as a living, breathing testimony. And y'all, I'm only a little over a year in. I've only been walking submitted for a little over a year. Check back in 5 years. Check back in 10 years. I'm still going through sanctification right now, and he's already done this much. And I'm not saying this from a boastful place. I'm saying this from, look at me. If I could move from what I was doing in my life and be where I am just a little over a year in, he can do that for you too. It's not that I said some special prayer or that I'm perfect or that I'm just some kind of special. God made that very clear to me when I was giving my life to him. And he said, I'm going to restore you and I'm going to use you as a testimony to other people. Your life is going to be glorifying me. People are going to see your glory. People are going to see my glory through the way that you live your life. God told me that my life and my testimony, what he did was going to glorify him, that people were going to see him through me. And that wasn't because I was so extra special or perfect or deserving or all these things, because I said special prayers or did special works, but was through my surrender and my obedience to him, he could do anything. So I'm telling y'all that because it is possible for you too. I don't care how long you've been in New Age. I don't care how long you've been a witch. I don't care how long you've been in divination. I don't care how long you've been in lust. I don't care how long you've been fornicating. I don't care how long you've been in active lying, deceiving, lustful. I don't care if you're exactly like Jezebel right now. If you humble your heart, seek him with all your heart, watch what he can do in your life. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I just read that scripture to y'all, meaning it doesn't matter what you have done in your past. When you are covered in the blood of Jesus, when you go before the Heavenly Father, Jesus is going to be able to step in and say, they're covered. I cover them. I'm telling y'all today that the first step is just seeking him with all your heart. Start reading scripture. Start praying to God for understanding. Start praying that he changes your heart. Be open. Humble yourself. Fast. Someone needs to hear that today. That was the quickest way for the Lord to break down. When I was seeking him, I was also going through intermittent fasting, denying my flesh. Start trying to deny the flesh. God says, don't divine. Quit going to the tarot readers. Quit going to the zodiacs. When you have a question, pray to God. Ask that he reveals it to you and actually listen. He's been convicting you about fornicating. Stop calling up that person that you go and hook up with. Get off the dating apps. Start praying that he helps you to flee temptation. Start praying that God gives you the strength. Start praying that you lean on his own strength. I love you guys, and that is why I'm sharing this with you. And that is honestly, I'm speaking with this authority I have today because I know from experience, y'all, that if you are actively living in all these sins, you need to hear this with an authoritative voice. You need to hear the truth of God today. And I'm saying it like this because I love you. You know, it hits so hard today where my pastor said in today's sermon that the enemy isn't people. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is the devil. And we're not fighting against each other. We're fighting for each other. Y'all, I'm going to be praying after this podcast for every single one of you who is listening to this today. I feel that conviction heavily on my heart. I am going to be praying for you. And I'm going to be praying that the scabs fall off your eyes and off your ears. I'm going to be praying that you have a radical change in your heart too. I'm going to be fighting for you in prayer, not against you. We need to be separating the spirit from the person, y'all. This is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is a battle of principalities. We're dealing with the lies of the enemy. We're dealing with the deception of the enemy. We're dealing with the temptation of the enemy, who's saying things that are very pleasing to the flesh. I want to make this so clear. You are not my enemy. Whoever is listening to us today that is also submitted to Christ, those people are not your enemy. You need to be praying for them, fighting for them. Not fighting with them, not fighting against them. I have seen what prayer can do. I have seen people delivered. I have seen people who are so sure about moving one way and defending a sin. And after taking them to the Lord in intercessory prayer, I have seen them humbled and that part broken down. I have seen them glorify God and change their ways. It is possible. Y'all, I have recently been on one of these podcasts I love to watch, Ryan Miller. He had a guest on a couple times who was at one time the leader of the Satanic Temple in a part of Africa. I believe it was South Africa. Who at one point was trying to curse Christians, was actively going against. He had radical shifts. He had radical revelations and transformations, gave his life to Christ, and he is now being used as a vessel for the Lord, fighting for the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of darkness. It is possible for you. I want to be so clear with this. The blood of Jesus conquers any demonic agreement you have come into. The blood of Jesus can free you from any of that. Any kind of other kind of covenants you came into, spiritual covenants, demonic covenants, okay? Someone needs to hear that today, because I knew that that was, amen, one of the biggest lies I kept hearing going around when I was in New Age. Because when I was in New Age, y'all, I was socializing with all of the occultic, witchcraft, Wiccans, like Satanists, like all of these different, and there was like a rounding belief with all them that they didn't believe in Jesus or the blood of Jesus like that. All-encompassing protection. They gave more authority to Satan and wickedness and darkness. And they really believed that like you could actually like sell your soul. Like they believed, and what I mean by that is that when you came into this demonic agreement or whatever, like you've sold your eternal life to like, okay, you're spending it with the devil or spending it with whoever, and you can't give your life to Christ. There are people who believe like 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60. Well, I made this agreement. I made this pact, this covenant, whatever. It doesn't matter if I try to give my life to Jesus. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Jesus can break it off of you. He has the authority. Satan does not. And you need to believe that. I believe that God is going to move through this episode today. I believe that there's someone who's going to be delivered. There is someone who is going to be freed. There is someone who needed to hear something that I said in this podcast today, in the authoritative way I've said it. And I just want to right now speak over all of you. I rebuke the lies of the enemy. I rebuke the lies that you have believed that have kept you chained up for this long. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you are freed. I pray that you are delivered. I pray that you surrender your life to Christ. I pray that you believe that He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I pray that He radically transforms your heart. I pray that your heart is humbled, that your heart is softened, and that you hear the word of God, and that you become good, fertile soil where the word can take root and sprout and grow. And I pray that you are no longer a child of the devil, but you are a child of God. In Jesus' name, I pray that you are a champion for the Lord, that you become a living testimony, and that you do things to further the kingdom of heaven and bring other people closer to Christ. Amen. I pray that you deny the flesh and submit your will to Him, and that you love Christ as Christ loved you, and that you love one another as Christ loved you. Amen. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life today. I plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over your spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus over your heart. I plead the blood of Jesus over your friendships, over your connections, over your family, over your relationship. I plead the blood of Jesus over you, and I pray that you read the word of God, that you know the word of God, and that you put on the armor of God, and that you too know the authority and can stomp out the devil, and that you truly know and believe that when you are covered in the blood of Christ, you are on the winning team, because Jesus has already secured victory when He went to the cross. He already defeated death and defeated the devil. It's not if, it's when. And I pray that you believe in that. And I pray that you are filled with love right now. That God's love just wraps around you. That you have a peace that surpasses all understanding from putting your faith in Christ Jesus. And you see that there is a rest that you cannot find in the world, that there is a love that you find in Jesus that you cannot find in the world, that there is a fulfillment that you find in Jesus that you cannot find in the world. That is what Jesus gives us, is he gives us a peace and a rest that surpasses all understanding that we can find nowhere else. And I pray that you see that it is not by your works, but it is by your faith, and that you are freed today from the lies of the devil, from the lies of the enemy. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I pray this over your life. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that today is a new day for you, and that you will be a new creation in Christ. And that the Lord can use you, and he will use everything from your past as a testimony. And that all of these things work out for your good. We know this from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. When you are walking in God's purpose, when you are serving the Spirit instead of serving the flesh, when you are obeying him instead of obeying the world, instead of obeying yourself, instead of obeying the truth, you will see how God will use every weapon forming against you for your good. You will see how every plot, scheme, trap of the enemy will be used to glorify God and to better you in some way. I'm not saying it's always going to feel good. We know Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. There is suffering as followers of Christ, but it is going to work for our good. We know that we will be rewarded in heaven. There is a seat for us at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, okay? And I pray that you have faith and belief in that today in Jesus' name. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode today. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. And I do ask that you subscribe. Leave a review. I'm probably going to regret asking that. I don't know. Leave a review. You can leave a review on the platform that you're watching this on. If it's YouTube, leave a comment. Spotify, leave a review. Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Share this with somebody. I'm not actually going to regret asking for that. I know the Holy Spirit was prompting me to ask that for a reason. I won't regret it. I want to hear. Share it with someone. Share it on social media. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family member, that person that God is nudging at you to share this with. Share it with. And I encourage you today to pray to God that he softens your heart and that you see a move of God in your life and in your spirit. I challenge you today, pray that God changes your heart to match the desires that he has for your life. That was a prayer I prayed time and time again. When I truly believed that God had good intentions for me and good plans for me, and I truly started believing that his will is what's best for me, not mine, I started praying, God, make my heart match your heart. I want my desires to align with what you will for my life. I want to be able to walk in step with you. I want my desires, my inclinations, my goals, my dreams, my aspirations to align with your word and your will. Take out from my heart and from my desires what's not from you, and replace it with desires that align. Make my heart match your will for my life, Lord. I encourage y'all, start praying that to him. Start praying that you are not comfortable in spaces that he does not want you to be in. Pray that you don't find peace and you don't find rest in places that he has not willed for you to be in. Pray that friendships, relationships, you don't find peace. You don't find comfort in connections that the Lord has not led you to be in, does not want you to be in. Pray that environments, workspaces, places like that, pray that you do not find peace and comfortability, instability in places that he does not desire for you to be rooted in, to be placed in. And start submitting to that. When you see him closing doors, because he will answer your prayer through closing doors, submit to that. Don't watch him close a door and try to yank it open anyway. Trust that he is closing that door and he is going to open a new one up, and start walking towards what he is guiding you to. Amen. Amen. Submit to his will and watch how your life changes. I love y'all. God bless.